human being, the insan, lives in this world, and time passes in the life, time passes in the world, and then you have the issues in the world, the ups and downs of the world, the dunya leaving behind the individual, and people departing from this world, leaving this world, and leaving your relatives and close friends. And when a person sees this happening in the dunya, then some, alhamdulillah, sensible, you could say, people, or who have recognition of the reality and upon whom Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy descends, when they see the situation of the dunya and the world, then they start to get detached, become detached from the dunya. And this dunya, it gives changes to a person in his life. Ups and downs, changes and fluctuations. So a person, when he sees these things and witness these things, he's forced to think that what is this life? What is the objective of life? What is that thing? What do I need to obtain or attain in my life? And a person starts to question himself. Why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I trying to achieve? Then a person starts to recognize and feel an improvement in the life, or an awareness that I don't know why I'm feeling anxious, or I don't know why I'm not satisfied, or I'm not at peace. And then he starts to look and delve into his or her heart, start to dislike material things and money and worldly artifacts, or the glamour or the glitter of the world and the luxurious things of the world. And the person sees that despite whatever you have, people suddenly disappear. The illness comes, and then alongside the ill health, a person then disappears. And I don't know, the whole life that person's been with me, and then suddenly he departs or detaches from me or leaves me. So the collection of these examples and events, they descend on a person's heart. The feeling and the recognition and the awareness that there is a reality of life. And then this creates a desire in the person's heart. And what is that desire that's created in that person's heart after experiencing the ups and the downs and the issues and the problems of life, and realizing that there is something beyond this? And then the person takes a stride towards the new journey of life. And what is that journey? To attain the nearness of his or her Rabb. And in his mind at that time, the person's not thinking this, but unconsciously or not even knowingly, the person starts to tread on that path which will take that person to Allah's nearness and to Allah Ta'ala's qurb, to Allah's nearness. And when a person undertakes and starts such a journey, one is a person who unconsciously or without really knowing what's happening, a person goes on the path. And then there's the person who knows that I'm doing something right and going towards my Lord. And when a person is on the journey to his Lord, then he or she is a musafir, because a person who is on a journey is a journeyman, a traveler, a musafir. And the person who's traveling to Allah, we don't call that person a musafir. We don't define that person as a musafir. We call that person, in the language of tasawwuf, or due to this journey, or for this journey that is towards Allah, such a traveler is called a salik. Salik. He's not the musafir, he is the salik. And the difference here, that when you go towards dunya, you're going to London, Glasgow, so everybody is classed as a musafir because you're traveling to a physical destination in the world. But when your destination changes spiritually to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is termed a salik. Not a musafir, a salik. So I'm just trying to revise, you know, when we're just remembering these points, because in this majlis we speak and discuss unique things. We don't talk fiqh and jurisprudence and masail, etc. This is a unique gathering, a special gathering, and you've come for this reason. You are, mashallah, like this. And you are salik. You are the salikin. And I can say this. And so we speak a little bit different, unique subjects. Not common things that we hear every day and discuss. So if somebody's new here, inshallah, you'll understand and digest what I'm saying. So that's why we gather, and that's the reason for me speaking. There's a field upon which we are educating ourselves, we are working hard, we're trying to attain the knowledge, and we're trying to attain a good result. So pay attention to what I'm saying, because this is a special gathering, and special discussions and special points emanate that we can learn from. So a salik, not... he doesn't travel towards dunya and materialism, but he's traveling to Allah. And so this person is given the title a salik. So on a journey, if you go to London, you're on a journey. So you're on a journey from A to B, and the person who's on the journey is the traveler. So what is this journey? The person who's traveling is the salik, and the journey equals suluk. So this person is a salik who's traveling on the path of suluk. So when someone says suluk, then you understand that this person is on the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who's on the journey of suluk is the salik. So that's a travel, that's a journey, and this is also a journey. So in the world, for example, there's a traveler, and he is going on a journey from A to B. Now if he's going on a distant journey, that person, he or she, gathers together the luggage, the goods. For example, you're going on Hajj, you will put your belongings together for the number of days and weeks you're going. If you're traveling to London, then you will prepare and pack in accordance with where you are going and how long you're going to stay there. But you have to take something with you, isn't it? If you don't even take anything, at least you have to keep your tablets in your pocket. Blood pressure and this tablet. This is important nowadays, isn't it? We've got to keep that in your back pocket. Don't want to get a cold. Don't want to get a flu. Oh, let's take the inhaler. Oh, Glasgow's cold. You know, so I need to take these medicines with me and these. So this is also the luggage and the goods that you have to take on the journey. So what we realize that every musafir in the world who's on a safar, who's on a journey, has a need for something on the journey. So what do we call those things that are with us? That's the luggage, the goods that we have to pack with us. But these are those things that assist the traveler on the journey. For example, a person buys what do we put into that? You know, it's come out of my mind. You know, we put the hot items, the liquids, into the container, the thermos. So the person, he makes some hot, you know, liquid tea, and he puts coffee or tea into the thermos flask, and he packs some biscuits in a box. They're on the way, we'll stop somewhere, have some tea. We have to stop somewhere. Then easily the musafir, he'll stop and he'll, you know, sit back and open the thermos into the cup and nice biscuits and hot tea on the journey, and it's useful for him. And then he'll get refreshed, and then he'll carry on driving after that. So this is the kind of thing we need to, you know, weird things we have to pack and take with us on a journey. So the musafir of the journey to Allah, the salik, who's on the journey of suluk, and where's he going? To Allah. What a great destination, eh? So when a person's traveling to the destination, then the salik, who's the traveler on the journey of suluk, needs luggage, doesn't he? Or she, of course, the musafir needs some luggage. So in these majalis, my friends, according to the statements of the pious predecessors and the Quranic verses and the ahadith that has prescribed to us the luggage, we talk about that luggage. Because mashallah, you are the salikin and you're traveling on the journey of suluk, and you have an awareness and understanding. Allah Ta'ala has instilled this into you, that the real destination is Allah, and to attain Allah's nearness. Dunya will carry on, and this is just a necessity of life. Dunya, standing at the shop with what you're thinking about, Allah's dhikr. Today I have to go to the gathering, the majlis. And this is the definition of a salik, who's thinking about these things. Yeah, for example, he doesn't need a motor car or a motorcycle. He doesn't need to be a car driver or a motorcyclist. He just needs his mind, his brain, his thoughts, and his efforts. And that will allow a person who's a salik to go on suluk, to get to Allah. And for example, in the world, if you're on a business travel or social travel, you're working, etc., you may be doing that in the world, but your safar, you're thinking about the eternal hereafter. You think about the evening, the morning. He's worried about his dhikr and his status, is it not? And so this is a salik. If this is not a salik, then what else is it? The salik, his fikr, his worry, his concern is always focused towards his hereafter, his journey, and his car's driving. He doesn't stop in the traffic. There's no jam, there's no hindrance, there's no restriction. He's continuing, consistent. So we need to think, if we're like this, if we have a feeling like this or a percentage of this, then we are the saliks. We've come away from the temporary finite path to the infinite path, to the never-ending path, to that destination, which is Allah. And if a person thinks like this and acts like this, he's the Salik. What a great change. What a great improvement. That I'm trying to just explain to you through words, that this is the reality. Not everybody can do this. Everyone comes to Salah. We see everyone prayed Salah. And there was one Jamaat that prayed Salah and people departed. But one Jamaat stayed seated doing Dhikr of Allah and everyone else departed. So who is the Salik? That you are sat here for the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it? Do you understand the words I'm saying? The points I'm making? Okay, so we continue. So, for this safar, we're on this journey, we're traveling, we understand that point that we're traveling, but we need for this journey some goods, we need to pack some goods, some luggage that will assist us. What will it do? It will help us, it will assist us in this journey, during this journey, so we can get to our destination quickly and easily. And without any obstacles. We need this, don't we? We need this luggage. We need these goods to take with us on the journey. And we talk about this, that this thing and A and B and C. So today let's talk about another item that is very essential on this journey for the Salik. It's the foundation. You can say it's the fulcrum, it's the hinge. It's the pivot point. We need this item on this journey to get to Allah. It's a foundation. It's a critical item. Allah Ta'ala has explained this to us. If I don't have this in my life, then I cannot reach to the destination. We cannot get close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So today we need to think that if I don't have that item in my life, or that point in my life, then my journey has a big void. It has a big gap, a big hole in it. It would be difficult for me to reach my destination. So let's obtain, Quran explains to us. Quran's beautiful verse, I really like this verse. إنما يخشى الله من عباده إن الله عزيز الغفور صدق الله العظيم. Now, a few times before you will have probably read this verse and seen this verse, and it's a beautiful verse. And in this, Allah Ta'ala has unraveled a secret for the musafir, for those who are on the journey, who are traveling. Allah Ta'ala has given piece of luggage, an item, a good thing that we need to pack and take with us on this journey, that without this we cannot succeed. And what is that? Innama yakhsha Allah, Allah Ta'ala says. Innama yakhsha Allah. What does this point mean? What is this? That Allah Ta'ala says, for every musafir, it is important that if he wants to attain Allah's nearness, that he needs to have khashiyat. Allah Ta'ala says, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. Inna Allah Azizun Ghafur. If I explain it in a different way, then you'll understand, rather than English. Because we need this thing. Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi. We need to understand this. Because we're traveling to Allah, and Allah says, this is the foundation that you need. Without this, you cannot succeed. And what is this? The luggage? Khashiyatullah. Yakhsha Allah. We need to have. Allah Ta'ala says, only those people who are endowed with knowledge stand in awe of Allah. So we need to have the awe. We need to have the reverence, or the khawf, you can say, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yakhsha Allah. Fear of Allah, in English we can say simply, or someone scared of something else. But that's not the right terminology. Fear, or true realization, and awe and reverence of our Rabb. So Allah Ta'ala is saying here, this is Allah's kalam and it's full of hikmah, the Quran is full of the wisdom. What's Allah Ta'ala explaining here to us? So you're not sleeping, are you, everyone? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because you have to listen to what I'm saying carefully and make a note in your diary. Because these words won't come again in our lives. Most probably they won't come again. Yesterday's discussion will not come, and today's discussion will not come tomorrow. It's unique. It's a one-off. When the Sufi Hazrat, the individuals, when they said the most precious thing in this journey, if we want to attain Allah's nearness, is the company of the Sheikh. The company of the Sheikh. And one sohbat, one company, one gathering of the Sheikh, you lose it, you can't do qada of this, you cannot make it up, compensate for it. What you were going to attain in that gathering, you will not attain in another gathering. So it's very precious to have the sohbat, the company of the teacher. Some people are present and they benefit this. And Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us today through this technology, in this day and age. Those people, whoever is in this majlis and is listening to this majlis, they are also in sohbat, in the company of the Sheikh. And they're getting the total fares and the blessings and the mercy of Allah. Some women, children, families, alhamdulillah, very regular and steadfast. That those people who are physically present, they disappear. And sometimes the people who are close to you physically, they disappear. And the others who are far, they get the fares. So Alhamdulillah has opened your qismat, your destiny. You listen at home, you sit down and you listen. So many people physically here today won't be here due to laziness or neglect. But it's surprising, shocking that people miles away, many miles away in different countries are so regular that they don't lead any majlis gathering at all. They never leave a majlis. So who will get the faiz? The people here physically or those? Who will Allah be pleased with? Who? So we're not ashamed. Allah will say that you are there, you live there. The masjid was across the road from your home or near your home. And my ocean of my ma'rifah was flowing and you didn't have the tawfiq to go there. And there was a man thousands of miles away. Thousands of miles away. He was waiting. Like here, it's night. There it's morning. It's morning there. 6 hours ahead, 1 a.m. somewhere, 12 midnight, someone's at work. And how do they do it? They say, we're going to work or we're at work. Then through the phone or through some media or through something, we listen to the discussion, the majlis, the bayan. This journey is about desire, hunger. It's not about forcing someone to keep on calling you. Why don't you come? Why don't you go? Why don't you listen? Why don't you benefit? Isn't it? Can't keep forcing people. So sometimes people, they come without calling them. But look at their muhabbah, their love. People who come and they go, you keep doing dua for them, that they're consistent. Anyway, this is Allah Ta'ala who gives and who attracts and invites and pulls. This is Allah Ta'ala's fadl. And if Allah Ta'ala's fadl comes onto a person, then he gets a little bit lazy. Oh, it's okay today. I'll give it a miss. Oh, you know, and Allah Ta'ala, if He wants to give the fares, maybe I'll get it some other time, etc. So a person is neglectful. We have to be careful and cautious that if we're making a link with who? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the Rabb. And with Allah, Rabb, we need to be straightforward and honest. Every second, every moment, every breath, Allah Ta'ala looks. The house and says, this person with me, this man or woman, how honest are they with coming towards me? How are they listening to me? And they're listening to what I've got to say. And when they listen to me, do their eyes get moist? And do their hearts immerse into the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah's deen, His direction? Some hearts, they're like rocks and stones and they stay the same when they depart the gathering. But others, they melt and they become soft. So Allah Ta'ala says that there's nobody who sent us here. Allah is the one who's brought us here. And Zayd, what is this between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is not between ourselves and individuals. It's between the servant and Allah. If you are sadiq, if you are sincere and humble, Allah will give so much. You don't need to tell anyone anything. Just keep it towards, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can loot all the treasures of Allah in this way. So what was I saying? What were we discussing about? يَخْشَى اللَّهُ The khushiyat. Allah Ta'ala said in this verse, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. So what we see here, what is the difference between khawf, the point here, and khushiyat? Fear and khushiyat. There's a big point I'm explaining here. Because why don't we say khawf, fear, or scared? And khushiyat, very similar, but there's a difference here. Because the word here, if we look at English, is awe or reverence, holding in high status. What's the difference? Both mean fear, scared, in other words, being afraid of Allah or having fear of Allah. But what's the difference between yakhshallah and khawf, or khashiyat and khawf? There's a beautiful, tender difference. What is khawf? Khawf, there's one meaning here. There's one juz, one part of khawf. Fear. Being scared, that's it. You cannot mix it or attach it to any other feeling or emotion. Fear, being scared. Do you understand? I'll give you an example so you understand that there's only one meaning here, no other. What does this mean? Fear. For example, I have khawf in you. Yeah? I've got khawf in you, isn't it? I'm scared of you. Or I'm scared of a snake. Or I'm scared of drowning. I'm afraid of drowning. And when I hear something high-pitched volume, I'm afraid, I get fear. There's same meaning, isn't it? Same, but what is khashiyat? يَخْشَى اللَّهُ, Allah says. When we use the word khashiyat, which Allah Ta'ala has attached to His name, then on top of khawf, there's another thing, which is displeasure. This will say, Subhanallah. Don't you understand the point? No, you should be happy to understand the point. Something should come out. Don't sit there like dumb. Praise Allah. Oh, Subhanallah, Allah, you're becoming alims. MashaAllah, the people of knowledge. And you don't appreciate this, you should shout out, Subhanallah. So what is the difference? The khawf, you're just scared. You're afraid. That I'm afraid of you, I'm afraid of the snake. But khashiyat, you have khawf and you have the danger of displeasure at the same time. So you have khawf of Allah and there's the danger of displeasure that may that person not be displeased with me. So here, in this fear, when the displeasure overwhelms the khawf, then what happens? That displeasure becomes the khawf. And so in here comes also love mixed with the fear. So when there's fear and there's displeasure and love, and it's mixed together, then this becomes khashiyat, yakhsha Allah. What a beautiful point here. So Allah Ta'ala said here, innama yakhsha Allah. Allah hasn't said khawf Allah. Allah said yakhsha Allah, that if a person in his heart has such fear of Allah, that he's scared of Allah's displeasure. Example, it's salah time. And now, the khawf in my heart should be at that time, yakhsha Allah, khashiyat. I should have the fear of khashiyat, that if this salah goes and I miss it, then Allah will be unhappy with me. Aha. Do you understand the point here? So this is khashiyat. What a word Allah Ta'ala has used. Awe and reverence of Allah. Awe. A-W-E. Awe and reverence of Allah. So it's clear, apparent here, that Allah Ta'ala's love has overwhelmed and overtaken the heart of that person. He's not afraid that, oh, Allah's going to punish me and I'm going to have a punishment. No. He says, may it not be that Allah is unhappy with me, displeased with me, and He's angry with me. Now you'll understand that this fear is mixed with, combined with the fear and the love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama yakhsha Allah. So Allah says, you just need this one thing for this journey, O Salik, this journey of Suluk to Allah. You need khashiyat, yakhsha Allah. This is the key critical item of luggage you need in this journey. And when we have yakhsha Allah, then subhanallah, we will reach to the peaks on the journey. A person, he will not implement any action that disobeys Allah. He will feel in his heart consistently, oh, I'm going to cause Allah Ta'ala to be unhappy with me. No, this action, A, B, C, if I do these, no, Allah's going to be unhappy with me, angry with me. No, I'm not doing these actions. Wow, subhanAllah, what a beautiful feeling a person undertakes in his life, and the love he has and the attachment to Allah. And those people have khawf, they're just scared. They say, oh, the punishment for this, I'll be burnt in Jahannam, in hellfire. This is khawf. And then they keep on doing that punishment. They keep on doing that action. And time again, they repeat that sin. And they keep on saying, oh, I'm going to get the punishment. Okay, I won't do it again. Oh, so I'll come over it. Because they have khawf and not khashiyat. When you see a person who leaves a sin, then he does the sin again. Then he comes out again, then he does the sin again. Then he repeats the sin again. So what we realize in reality is that person doesn't have the luggage to reach Allah. He's become the musafir, the journeyman, the traveler, but he's not attached that thing with him. He's not packed that item in his bag that should be of critical use to him on that journey. For example, in the thermos, we put tea, but we haven't put tea in, we put some other fluid in. That's not going to be of use to us in the journey. So this sin, and how beautiful a point. People think, I do dhikr, I worship, and I still do zina with my eyes. Various people, we hear this, I did tawbah and I went back to that sin. What's the reason for this? That we don't have khashiyat, we just have fear on its own. We're just scared. Empty, scared feeling. We don't have khushiyat to stand up, get up in the night to commit sins and then do the bad, evil sins or immodest sins, and to walk down the street and look and let the eyes stray. Whenever you get a chance, you slip, fall down. What we realize, we're doing everything physically, but we don't have the awareness and the understanding that what luggage should I be taking with me on this journey? What luggage should I have had on this journey with me? To my toolkit for the journey. My toolkit for success on this journey. Why? Because I haven't got khushiyat in my toolkit. Is it clear now the point? So we need to bring into our toolkit the luggage for our journey, khashiyat, the awe and reverence of Allah. Then you can put a question to me. Okay, we accept. We're on the journey. We're travelers. We're the saliks on the suluk journey. How do we transfer our khawf, the fear of Allah, empty fear, into khashiyat? So Allah Ta'ala says, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. Min ibadihi al-ulama. So Allah Ta'ala here now is explaining that for this journey, 2 points Allah Ta'ala has made. One is an example, Allah has given an example to explain to us. And another one, Allah Ta'ala has shown a path, a way of khashiyat. So how? First Allah Ta'ala has given the example of khashiyat, the awe and reverence of Allah, and the love and the fear of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala has given an example as well of the path. Allah says, min ibadi. So innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. Allah says, if you want to see where is this khushiyat, then look at the ulama. Look at the people who have the knowledge. So here's an example. Allah says, I don't hide the fact that if you want to see that what is khushiyat and what's the awe and reverence of Allah, and who has this and who has this feeling and condition, look at the ulama ikram, the respected scholars or the people of knowledge. And what is the tariqah, the method, that if you want khashiyat, then you can also attain knowledge. You should also attain knowledge and become the alim, the person of knowledge. Clear, isn't it? Clear. This is Quran. Yes. So what we realize here is that, where do we get this from? Khashiyat. the awe and reverence of Allah, because we need to pack, buy the things from the shop, the store, and pack them in our luggage and go on this journey of suluk. So where do we get it from? The ulama ikram, the respected scholars. Because Allah Ta'ala says, of all His servants, only such as are endowed with innate knowledge stand truly in awe of Allah. So we can only get the reverence and awe from the ulama, the scholars. MashaAllah, there are scholars here, quite a lot of scholars in this gathering. MashaAllah. So let's give the example now. Us, we, you, me, what is Allah Ta'ala telling us? Allah Ta'ala says, become the alim. So how do I become an alim? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that of all His servants, Allah's servants, only such as are endowed with innate knowledge stand truly in awe of Allah. So if I go now to the madrasa to learn ilm, they say, oh, go away, you old man, you've come here now to learn. At this age, you're going to waste the time with the children. You've wasted your life and now you're coming to learn. Will anyone give you admission? And if you bring the form, let's get the application form, fill it in. Yeah. So now let's turn the point in this statement. I'm explaining the Quran, my brothers. Let's understand the point. That how can the whole world and all the population become alims? Does this mean that if it's only ulama, that Allah Ta'ala is saying here, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, the Quran is haq, then every man who's graduating from the Darul Ulum should be a kutub and a ghaus and an abdal and a wali of Allah. The graduate from the madrasa, who's the scholar. Because the Quran is telling us that the khashiyat should be in the ulama. So the ghaus, whoever is an alim and graduating from Darul Ulum, he should come out as the ghaus and the kutub and the abdal and the best of all creation. And that's why they're big-headed. Huh? With pride, they present this ayah. This ayah. That, oh, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? Do you understand what I'm saying? The graduate, oh, it's only 2 years left then. Oh, I'm going to become a kutub, a ghawth. I'll become an abdal, the great wali of Allah. The Quran has said it. I'm the alim. I'm the best. They'll start thinking like this. So here's one claim, isn't it? Here's a claim. And the other claim, that does this mean? So on one side, this verse is telling us that only ulama can be the people who have awe and reverence of Allah. And then the other argument, the contradiction or clashes, that does that mean no women, no men, or children who are not alim scholars cannot attain Allah's nearness, cannot have Allah's awe and reverence, nor will we have that luggage and we won't be able to get close to Allah, because only the graduate, the alim, only he can attain this? So here's the question now, isn't it? So do you want the answer now or do you want it some other time? Because we're here now today free, isn't it? We're now away. We are devoid, aren't we? Because the ulema, the scholars have taken, well, I can't become an alim. And here Allah Ta'ala saying in the verse that only the person who's alim can have the yakhsha Allah, the khushyat. And here there's a big, big disproportionate rate that most of the people are not alims in the world. So should we just sit down cold and devoid and lose out? But Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the case in my court. So the two questions that arose, that is it just the alims who will get yakhshiyat, or the people who don't have the ul-ilm, and they're not alims, will they lose out? But there's hikmah and wisdom in this verse. Don't look literally at the verse. Don't look literally at the verse. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So what ilm is Allah Ta'ala talking about? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Which ilm is Allah talking about? Which ulama is Allah talking about? Which scholars is Allah talking about? That look at these people if you want to learn what is khashiyat. Which ilm is this? Allah has given the hint. Allah has given the direction and making the connection. So Allah says, if you want khashiyat, then look at the ulama. You need to be like them. And if you want to attain the khashiyat, the awe and reverence of Allah, then be like the alim. Subhanallah. So this is Quran. But what is Allah Ta'ala explaining? That if we attain this ilm, that is necessary. If it comes into our life, then that's fine. But there's a special ilm here, that they are also dependent on this knowledge. Even the graduates from Darul Ulum, the scholars, they are dependent on this ilm. And so we say Subhanallah loudly, because we're learning this today. So the alim, the scholar, who graduates from madrasa, is deeply and severely in need of this ilm. This Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in the verse. And so are all of we. So this ilm is not spread or taught in the Darul Ulum. It's not the Darul Ulum, it's not the age that restricts a person learning this. You cannot stop learning this due to age or Darul Ulum, wherever you are, whatever knowledge you have already. To attain this ilm, you need to make steps that Allah, I want to attain khashiyat. And you will attain the ilm, you will attain the knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? You have to make steps, make strides, make effort. And what for? Towards what? And even for the ulama ikram, the scholars who are graduates from Darul Ulooms, they also need to earn and learn this ilm. And they will have to do the same. They will have to make effort and they'll have to strive and make steps, either otherwise they won't get khashiyat nor will we get khashiyat. And I will give you the proof, and that proof's in front of you. What ilm is Allah Ta'ala referring to? It's not the ilm of the the words and fiqh and jurisprudence and hadith kitabs and masail and masle masail. What ilm is Allah Ta'ala referring to? That ilm is about the knowledge of Allah. The knowledge about Allah, Allah's being, Allah Ta'ala Himself, Allah's ulum, in which Allah Ta'ala's greatness, His shan, His kamal, His jamal, His izzah, His reverence, His awe, His power, His glory, His respect. When a person learns this ilm, that ilm is termed khashiyat. Khashiyat Allah. Yakhsha Allah. So the words and the kitabs, that's physical ilm. And this ilm is the ilm about the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Allah's shan and His jamal and His kamal, His azmat, His greatness, His love, His reverence, His glory, His total respect, His kamalat. And if somebody wants to learn these things, this is called yakhsha Allah or khashiyat, to attain khashiyat. Yes, you don't learn this in Darul Uloom. You want to earn this knowledge in Darul Uloom. So what ilm is this then? Where do I go to? The ilm of marifa, ilm ludni, ilm batin, the knowledge of the batin, the knowledge of the soul, the knowledge of the inner state, which Allah Ta'ala has kept different from the kitab. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. So Rasulullah SAW taught the Quran, wal hikmah, his deen, his practice, wa yuzakkihim, and he purified the hearts of the believers. And this science and this subject is still here today. And this ilm is still here today. We need to learn it, just like the Sahaba Ikram were taught it and learnt it. And in this journey of suluk, if we want to be the saliks, then we need to learn this ilm of the soul, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah, so we can take this in our toolkit on the journey of the salik, on the journey of suluk. And we will have to learn this ilm. We'll have to learn this, not from the beginning, we'll have to start. And we'll have to learn all the words and the kitabs, and after 8, 9, 10, 11 years or more, and after studying this and practice on this, and hadith and Quran and fiqh, when you combine this, after learning this ilm, then Allah Ta'ala said, for this all we need is that we need to have a desire, a deep-rooted desire that we want to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. We need to create this desire. We need to bring about this desire. We need to detach ourselves from the love of the world, love of material things. We need to have that desire for Allah's nearness, a feeling and a deep feeling that where am I going? How am I going to get there? What should I do to get there? And we have this feeling, then we'll make that stride in that journey to Allah. But we need to have the luggage on this journey, which is Allah's raw awe and reverence. So you have to take khashiyah with this. And where do I get the khashiyat from? Where will I learn this knowledge? Where will I learn this knowledge and put it into practice? Very easy. Allah Ta'ala says, "Min ibadil ummah," that look at that person. Go to those people who have khashiyat already in their heart, and they are the walis of Allah, the ahlullah, the awliya Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this hint. The ahlullah, the people of Allah, who are attached to Allah, who have the ulum khashiyat, who have the batini ulum, the spiritual inner state ulum in their hearts, and they will teach it. Go and learn from them. So when we read this verse and when we understand this point, those people whose names are today alive, that alhamdulillah, for example, you have the people who had physical ilm, famous personalities, and we have Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah, Hazam Mulana Rashid Gangohi rahmatullah, Hazrat Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Mulana Zakiriya Sahib rahmatullah alayh, and many other personalities. What did they do? They left their ulum, their knowledge, and they went to the Ahlullah, the Wali of Allah, who in his heart he had the ilm and marifa, and they went and bowed in humility and said, "Please Shaykh, teach us this." These great scholars, the Quran gives the proof of this today in this day and age, that these great scholars, and they went to the Shaykh, the teacher, who had the ilm of Allah, who was the Wali of Allah. So the alim of ilm, of physical knowledge, of kitabs, that's a different ilm. And this ilm, this knowledge, this path is a different ilm, different subject we have to study. So the dhahir ilm, the apparent ilm, the written ilm, it will help us in this journey, because the scholar will attain this quickly. What thing will he attain quickly? Because the person who's already an alim, who studied the kitabs, when he's on that path to learn the ilm, ilm-e-batini, and to get the yakhsha Allah, the khashyat of Allah, then the physical kitabs that they studied, the hadith and the Quranic verses that they know, and the knowledge that will assist them. It's not that the ilm will not assist them, it will assist them and be of use to them and take them to the destination. But only when you go to the wali, to the teacher, to learn khashiyat, not that you sit down and say, "I'm an alim and I've studied and I've got the knowledge, and I know my deen, and I know my books, and then you don't accept that that person will teach you the knowledge of Allah, then you will not benefit, and you will not get khashiyat. And our aqabareen, the greatest alims, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi, Hazrat Zakariya rahmatullahi, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad rahmatullahi, Hazrat Saranpuri rahmatullahi, they flew to their sheikh, and they said, my knowledge is a waste if I don't go to my teacher. And when they learned the knowledge of Allah, and they became themselves pious, then you don't have to see what was I, how many kitabs did I write, look at my status, what was I before. They would never even have 1% of pride attached to them. Not 1%. Here there's an alim, and there's a non-alim. Look, subhanAllah, Hazrat Thanvi, rahmatullahi, how great he was. Look, his khanqa and his company. Here's a commissioner of his time. He doesn't have any ilm. No, and there's Hazrat Arfi, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay, rahmatullahi. And there's Mufti Saab, Mufti Shafi Saab. So they are all students of Hazrat Thanvi, rahmatullahi. Hazrat Mufti Shafi, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay, and the collector sahib. And one's got ilm, one hasn't got ilm, etc. Because Allah Ta'ala says that for this path, for this knowledge, for this class, you need to have the deep-rooted passion and desire for Allah. Allah says, look at Talib, who is sincere? And the person with sincerity, if he doesn't have sincerity, then the person who doesn't even have ilm, he will surpass that person in the journey. So Allah Ta'ala has made it very easy for us to attain his nearness. Very easy. So the biggest thing is talab, the desire. And we need to have the desire to attain khashyat, the yakhsha Allah, to have the reverence and awe of Allah. Let me show the proof that the sahaba ikram, who are those people? The ilm dahir, the greatest scholars. Everyone's agreed that Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu was the top tier, great sahabi in terms of knowledge. And remember, ilm, for example, speaking a lot, talking a lot is not ilm. Rather, having an abundance of khashiyat of Allah, reverence and awe of Allah, is ilm, knowledge. Imam Malik rahmatullahi, another source. The Hazrat Imam Malik rahmatullahi said that giving a lot of narrations and reading off a lot of hadith doesn't mean you've got a lot of knowledge. Rather, this is a noor. Hadith and knowledge of the Quran is a noor that Allah Ta'ala puts into the heart of the believer. And what does that noor do? Allahu Akbar. That noor is inserted into the heart of that person, and then he gets khashiyat, yakhsha Allah. Then it's such an ilm, such a benefit, that between the servant of Allah and his Rabb, that it stops that person from disobeying Allah. Khashiyat. The same example I gave you, that person who has the knowledge and that ilm, that ilm will become a wall, it will stop that person committing a sin. So he hasn't got fear of hellfire and fire, he's got fear that may my Rabb not be displeased with me. May Allah not be unhappy with me. So that's the difference, that the ilm of dahir, hadith, kitab, fiqh, will give you the fear of Allah. Praise Allah, dhuhr, or do this, or be afraid of jahannam, hellfire, the scorpions and the fire and this adab, etc. But this is ilm dahir. You'll get this and learn this from the speeches and the talks. But when you go to the ahlullah and the friends of Allah, you won't just say this, but they'll instill such love into your heart that, oh, Allah will be unhappy with me if I don't do this action. So the khawf changes into love and deep reverence and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deep-rooted love, which has fear combined, but love, very deep love. So this path, alhamdulillah, my brothers, the most valuable thing in this path of suluk is yakhsha Allah or khashiyat Allah. The person needs to bring it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. So when an insan, a human being, alhamdulillah, attains the khashiyat, and he has the reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love for Allah, and the fear of Allah, then Allah says, when he has these things combined, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. There are two sifat Allah Ta'ala is mentioning here, two attributes. So when a person reaches to the path and his heart is full of nur and the ilm, and he starts to walk on that path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has yakhsha Allah, then Allah says, Inna Allah, then verily Allah says that this is my greatness and my kamal and my jamal. The all of those feelings and emotions, it says, Inna Allah, most verily, this is the case, and this is how a person becomes pious, and how can he then disrespect and disobey Allah? So Allah says, Inna Allah, Azizun Ghafur, verily Allah is Almighty. Then he starts thinking, Allah is going to be displeased with me, unhappy with me, he's going to cry all night long, how did I make this mistake? Isn't this the life? There's so much the person's careful and cautious, he won't speak to anyone. That may I not say such a word from my mouth that my Rabb, he will be unhappy with me. And I saw this in the company of my Hazrat Grami Qadar rahmatullahi. 3 days, I never saw Hazrat speaking for 3 days. I was in his company, such alims were there. And he himself was a great alim. He went to Saharanpur, India, and look at his ustads. And Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi was the teacher of my sheikh, of Hazrat Sahib. and other great sheikhs and scholars, and Hazrat had the sohbat and the company of great scholars. And when someone asked my sheikh, who was an alim himself, a masala question, he said, "I'm not an alim." He didn't want to speak, so cautious. I don't want to give an answer that Allah is displeased with me if I say something that's not right. For 3 days I saw Hazrat would not speak, sometimes 3 or 4 days on the trot. We used to go for a week to Hazrat Sahib's company, and from inside the phase would come out, "Hazrat, what about this? What should we do now? What do we speak about now? This is dangerous, this and that." The question didn't arise. No talking, no discussions. Why? Because this is the knowledge of Allah. Inna Allah, Allah says, verily, most verily, indeed, this is this attribute and the quality, because the heart's opened up. Khashiyat has come and you realize, verily, this is Allah. This is Allah's love. This is Allah's status. This is Allah's power. This is Allah's glory. Aha, inna Allah azizun ghafoor. First we realize, when a person learns the knowledge of Allah, first thing he learns, inna Allah azizun, that yes, Allah is the Almighty. And ghafoor, that we feel that let us not do the smallest of errors, because Allah is much forgiving. Even though we know this, we say, no, we don't want to displease Allah. And the salik stays alive with this reassurance and hope. That where we see Allah's shan and His great status, then Allah's rahmah is in parallel. That how Allah forgives. And then a person lives a balanced life. Me and you, we are traveling this path. This is not a new path. It's the same path from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam down to now. There's no fikr, no worry. We shouldn't be thinking ourselves as inferior or wasting time. We should have courage, make effort. First and foremost, what should we do? Attain khashiyat. Reverence of Allah, awe of Allah, and you get a high status with this. So my brothers, this is the path to attain Allah's nearness, to get close to Allah, and this is ma'rif. And who's telling us this? The Quran we've heard, the hadith, it's proven, what I've just told you, both things are presented, and the lives of the awliya Allah, their lives, the history is in front of you, and the Quran has said, look, this is the way. These are my people, and they have the knowledge. يَخْشَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. So let's do dua to Allah that He doesn't keep us in the darkness and He gives us a sincere heart so we can learn this path, educate ourselves, recognize ourselves, make ourselves aware, where are we standing, what's my position, what's His position, what's my halat, what's my condition, where am I going, what's lacking in my life. Okay, it's fine, look, there's no doubt that we pray salah, we fast and we do other things. Allah has given us the hukam that we're going to get Jannah inshallah with the fadl of Allah. There's no doubt about this. And that is for every Muslim, Allah's guaranteed and promised that iman will earn paradise. But there's something to think about. One is the dunya that we're living in. And we see how the dunya betrays. We see our lives. And I say, this is mine. But it doesn't remain mine. My money doesn't remain mine. We see this every day. Every day we don't know about health, about life. And even then, for this dunya, how much we run ourselves ragged. Oh, status, oh, let me work a bit more, I'll get a better house, or if I do another thing, my status will improve and increase. And we know that we're not going to live in this world forever. Think about it. We're amassing the assets and the wealth, and we know we're not going to live here forever. We know this. We know this, that life is just temporary, few decades maybe. Youth is gone, and the middle age is gone. Now we're on the final stage, possibly, that we don't know, there's no guarantee of life. And the illnesses have come, and this has come to come. And even then, our desires and our passion is for dunya. Oh, I want to earn a bit more of dunya. Let me do a bit more for dunya. Or may this thing come by my way so I can attain it. Or let me increase my status. This is dunya, isn't it? And we know that we're going to depart. And we shouldn't stay in this track. Other people have gone, and we're going to follow them. So here, there's something I need to think about. That this dunya we're going to go to is the eternal, permanent world. And when here, if we don't like that for one, we stay on one level. Then do you want to stay on one level in the hereafter? And you don't want to get promoted? Won't you feel regret when we'll see others around us? They're on higher levels. They're well off, richer than me, more wealthy. Tell me. And now I've got total strength and awareness and courage and determination. And if I want, I can practice to the heights. It's not hard to get khashiyat Allah. Yakhsha Allah. Allah says, come into the path. Jump into the maidan and practice. Allah Ta'ala says that just like when you are given the guidance and the guide, the teacher tells you, he controls you and tells you to follow the path, you will get to that path, you will get to that destination, khashiyat Allah. You will get that. And yakshallah, the one piece of the person, we deceive ourselves, I can't practice. After 3-4 years, a person comes in, Hazrat, I want to meet you. I said, why do you want to meet me now? Oh, you don't want to speak about dhikr. I said, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that I gave you dhikr. Now, is this not a drama? Now, what dhikr, what discussion do you want to have with me regarding dhikr? I've told you, explained to you, are you consistent on those things? Are you steadfast? Have you corrected your salah? Have you taken out lies from your life? Backbitings out of your life? Haram, is it finished? Have you stopped saying bad things? Have you? And he wants to speak to me. He wants to meet me. So what's this? This is delusion and deception, and a person just kidding himself. This is not how we get yakhsha Allah. If Allah Ta'ala takes us to the Ahlullah, the Wali of Allah, then we need to appreciate and value his company. Allah Ta'ala has given us the entrance, graduate. He's given us the admission into that Darul Uloom, the ilm of Allah. And when you are graduated from there, then straight to Jannah, the highest grade of Jannah. High form, and there will be no regret there with the fadl of Allah. There will be no regret, no remorse. And that maqam Allah Ta'ala will give, subhanallah. Allah will give such a maqam, such a station, such a place that we have to make effort here. Effort here, strive here. This dunya, my friends, is not the time, place to waste the time. That's why for everything, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give to you. We think, I'm going to earn. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give myself to you. That don't worry too much about rizq and wealth and run after it. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I've set the rizq after you. You'll work 4 hours and the rizq will come to you. And the other 6 hours, my son, do the work. Do work on khashyat Allah. Yaqsha Allah, and concentrate on Allah Ta'ala's nearness. What do? We work from 4, we increase it to 10 hours, and we don't have no time for Yaqsha Allah. Khashiyat. And such majalis which create Yaqsha Allah. Khashiyat. Dhikr of Allah, where the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged for us, and we cut ourselves away from that. We don't want to go there. We want to sleep and run our businesses and go to our shops. We don't want to sit in the dhikr of Allah. Is this how we get to Allah? If there's a student in Darul Ulum, you study probably, or some ulama here have studied, do you get the degree like this? You'll get the slippers that one used to go to daras and the lecture, used to go to study, used to stay up in night and study. And in the last year of Bukhari, they study in the night. It's khatam, is finished, is explained, and all the students, they sit down to understand it. So if this is the hal, and there's so much ihtimam and so much preparation for that ilm, that Allah Ta'ala said, I give you my promise about khashir. So what about this ilm? You'll have to stick yourself to the individual, the guide, the teacher. You don't think about morning or night. You have to become the servant like the ghulam. You become like the ghulam of the teacher. And ghulami, servitude is this for a student. Like you go and admission into a Darul Uloom. The best student is the obedient student who listens to the ustad and the teacher. The teacher will love him more. You say, okay, do this for me and copy me and give me a massage here, or do this. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Help me, etc. So this is the example of the students who assist the teacher, who do the khidmat of the teacher. They press their legs and their feet because the teacher's tired, or their head or their arms, to give relaxation to the teacher. And if we want to attain the nearness to the wali, to the guide who's taken us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to spend time listening to him. Aha, subhanAllah, the gathering. Here, what we should attain is that every time we should seek excuses, speaking to this person, speaking to that person, seeking the guidance from the teacher. With every excuse, we should try to stay in the company or in the midst of our yar, of our friend. If you love somebody permanent, for example, in the world, somebody has loved, somebody said, I'm going to get the bread. But this is the path for the bread. But he's going through the alleyway where that person lives. Why are you going this way? Oh, but this is the way. That's a long way. This is the way to go. No, I was just thinking I'll go the longer way just to walk. But what's he doing in reality? That he's going through the path of the beloved. And he looks at the street and the alleyway and the house and the door of the beloved, and his heart feels happy. And most definitely the person, his heart is feel happy. Okay, I'll sit here for a little while. They'll say, please, can you go and put a letter in the postbox? And he's going from that route again. Why are you going through that route? Yeah, in Pakistan, they grab that person. He's playing a game. He's after somebody, and they hit the person. Babe, why are you going this way? No, there was a dog that way. So I'll go back the other route. And then he goes again and looks at that door. He'll get the beats eventually, but he wants to see the door of the beloved. So the person who's earning and traveling for the knowledge of Allah, yaqsha Allah, he keeps on looking at the khanqah of his sheikh. Even if the sheikh's gone, I tell you the truth. Hazrat used to leave. We'd keep on looking at the khanqah. Then when will Hazrat come again? We look at his front door and we seek the excuses and the opportunities to go to your alley and to your street and to your house, to your door, to speak to this person, to speak to that one. That's why I said this is the journey to Allah. I'm not saying do this. This is your just by your love, your passion. But you attain the destination this way. Whether you do it or not, that's your choice. That's why I'm not forcing you to all these things. When I speak, I'm not forcing someone do this or don't do this. Those who are listening, those as well. It's your choice. But on the basis of being the teacher, I'm giving you information that if you got true love, then this path, you won't just attain it for nothing. You won't just attain it without any effort. Then you need to create such a love with the sheikh, with the teacher. There are many examples that you see in the Darul Uloom between the student and the teacher. You have to have ishq. You have to become fana in your sheikh. totally immersed, not temporary, oh, kiss their hands and you run to get their shoes and open the door. What's this? What's in these actions? Rather, every excuse do I seek to see your path, O Sheikh or teacher, where you are going. Rather, the Sheikh should be fed up that please, step back, give me time to breathe, give me a breather. And some, they have to do this. And even in the push, when the teacher pushes the student back, we took the pushing as well. There's no point and problem with that. Because you have to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. So Allah Ta'ala said that you, if you want the faiz, you will have to get it through the teacher. Khashyat will come. The awe and reverence of Allah will come, but through the teacher's presence and his teaching and education and tarbiyah. Because khashiyah, reverence of Allah, fear of Allah and love of Allah is such a reality. It's between Allah and His servant, and it stays there, and it's an obstacle, a wall to prevent that person sinning, because he's become the beloved of Allah. No, I can't do this. Why? What's the problem? Do it, yeah. No one's looking. No, Allah will be unhappy. I'm not talking about Jannah, paradise, or burning, or azab in the grave. We'll say, no. My Rabb, Allah will be displeased with me. I can't do this. So may Allah Ta'ala, He instill into my heart this love. MashaAllah, you brothers are pious, all of you, and I'm hopeful that you are on this path towards this destination, and you've got khashiyat. Do dua for me. I'm an empty box. May Allah Ta'ala instill khashiyat into my heart and allow us to have yakshallah. Because all of us, inshallah, everyone's going to go to Jannah. But let's go to Jannah that the announcement's made on the Day of Judgment. Oh, people with khashiyat, come. How great it will be that in the world, if we please Allah, that those who are scared, that may Allah not be displeased with us, may Allah not be unhappy with me, angry with me, not worried about the punishment physical, we're worried about Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. And that's why Allah Ta'ala has given the highest level, radiyallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala gave this to the Sahaba, that I'm not unhappy with you, my companions of my Prophet. And here's another proof here, that they are the highest class of human beings who ever lived on the face of this earth. Allah Ta'ala gave the highest rank and status to the Sahaba. Allah could have kept it hidden, but Allah gave the greatest title, which is the proof of khashiyat, yakshallah, and Allah gave it to the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, and Allah gave the greatest gift, that I am forever happy with you, forever, because you were afraid of my displeasure, and I'm not displeased with you, rather I'm happy with you. Oh, noble companions, may Allah Ta'ala give us that iman in our heart, the iman of the Sahaba. What iman they had, what words, what great practice. So this, my friends, is ilm. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to all travel on this path. Ameen.